And I remember and being about seven, and I was my mum had been going on and on.
7 years old.
Which meant I was bullied. And I was bullied.
This is a strange part of the story. It's totally random, but Sarah Jessica Parker.
People are gathering at live events in order to listen to other people's personal stories. It's not stand-up, and it's not theatre or poetry. It's what's known as true storytelling. I'm going to find out about London's own storytelling scene, and I may even tell a story of my own in the process.
What talking has taught me is that other people have the same experiences as me or similar experiences to me, and I've realised that I'm not alone and that I can have some ownership of these words.
This is a story about storytelling.
True storytelling is very simple. Essentially, people getting up there and telling some of their own experiences to other people who they may know or they may not know.
The most popular true storytelling organisation is Spark, based in London.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories.
We tell them live.
And we tell them all across London.
I spoke to the founder of Spark, Joanna Yates.
I think there's a much more deeply ingrained belief in the States that what you've got to say really matters. Because there's a really universal theme that I come across, and it's in me too, which is that, oh, does anyone really want to hear my stories? Like, are they really interesting? Other people's stories are interesting, but are mine really interesting? And I'm constantly sort of challenging that in people because I strongly believe that they are interesting.
And I remember being about seven, and my mum had been going on and on since Christmas, and it was now at least February, about me writing my thank you letters. And she'd be like, Joanna, have you written thank you letters? And I'd say, no, not yet, Mum, but I will, I'll do it later. And she'd be like, okay. And eventually she cornered me with the notelets and the pen. And I'm on the kitchen table and the pen's in my hand and the notes are in front of me. And I'm thinking of all the things that people have given me for Christmas. And I'm planning on what I'm going to write. And I just can't spell the words that I need in order to say thank you. And one of the most the most tricky things is I can't spell the word auntie. And almost all the presents came from an auntie. So that was quite a serious problem.
I get amazing emails. I got an incredible email from a woman recently who said, I used to live in London, but I'm now back in Australia. And I listened to your story about being dyslexic. And she goes, I'm a teacher over here. And she goes, I think it's so important that we're more aware of people who struggle with their dyslexia in English. And she goes, I'm going to play the podcast to all the teachers in the school at our meeting. And we're going to discuss it.
About 2 hours with a writing coach because he wanted us to have a consistent voice so that we all sounded like we were coming from the same place. And this woman turned up called Mandy, and she had all these creative writing exercises. She had postcards, and she'd say, tell me the story of what's happening in the postcard, and you'd make it up and you'd write it down. And we'd do, she'd give us prompts on email, and we'd have to automatically write, so not thinking, just pouring out whatever you could. What her point of view was more important to be creative with the way you write than it is to get it exact, and then you can do the exacting bit later.
So tonight I'm attending my first Spark London event in Exmouth. I'm not really sure about what to expect, so I'm just going to go ahead and interview the first person that I meet.
Hello, I'm Habby, and I'm 52, and I live in London, where I'm self-employed. Tonight I joined the Mind Haringey event as a storyteller, and I told the story of the life and death of my younger sister, who committed suicide at the age of 27, 14 years ago, and who was suffering from manic depression or bipolar disorder. Even when you were looking right at her, she was invisible. And she was hunched up and skinny and pale, and the only thing she ever said was to repeat a question very plaintively, will I ever get better? And during that time, her psychiatrist diagnosed her with bipolar disorder, which, as I'm sure you all know, is the modern word for manic depression. Well, actually, I had a nervous breakdown 4 years ago, and as I was coming out of it, or maybe 5 years ago, I met the woman who curates these stories for Spark London, Joanna Yates, who's an amazing sort of positive force, and she said, why don't you come and tell a story on stage? And that was the coming out of depression and into the light. But then, after 4 months, she started to get better. And we all went to my parents' house for the summer, and one August afternoon, we went to the pub, all five siblings, no partners allowed, and we told jokes, and Zoe smiled. And it was such a fantastic thing to see, and we all looked at each other, and it was like magic. It is a performance. You are on stage. You do have the adrenaline. It's like I got a really bad back, but when I was on stage just now, I couldn't feel it. You can't feel anything except the adrenaline of talking to an audience. But it is also much, much older than that. It's how humans began to communicate with storytelling. It goes, it happens in every culture, with or without written word. People who can't read and write can tell stories. And we realized that all those years of Zoe being an extreme person was due to an illness that's no less serious than any other illness, and that extreme arrogance, extreme sexual activity, extreme shopping, extreme traveling, all forms of extremes are just, they're just normal parts of mania. But I tell you, watching the extreme of her pain when she was down was almost unbearable to see as it engulfed her. So I think that the fact of sharing your story is as important as performing it. And I think that for me, the attraction of Spark London and the other things of that kind, like The Moth in New York, is that they're true stories, that they happen to you and that they're real. I learned a few other things. I learned never to criticize someone who says they're depressed for any reason, any kind of depression. It would be the equivalent of telling someone with pneumonia, get up and stop sniffling and just go to work. I mean, not to understand that depression is an illness seems to me in this day and age criminal. And she taught me that.
This week, a man stood up on stage. Notepad in hand, I could tell it was his first time. His name is Jonathan Blake, a 65-year-old campaigner who was diagnosed with HIV.
I was getting a lot of information about this disease, which had cut a sway through the San Francisco community and the New York community and seemed to be cutting a sway through London. And the information was very worrying. And despite having a large number of acquaintances, I felt very alone. Essentially, sort of, I was part of a group called Lesbian and Gay Men Support the Minors. And we supported a group of miners in South Wales during the 1984 miners' strike, the big miners' strike. And this has been turned into a film called Pride.
As I said, this is a tale of union. We've had union between two men, and here's another. Union between Lesbian and Gay Men Support the Miners and the miners of South Wales, in the form of the people of the Dolise Valley. I was a member of LGSM, and LGSM was a group of gay men and lesbians who came together to support the community that was under threat of destruction by that woman who said, there is no such thing as society.
And the scriptwriter, Stephen Beresford, came and interviewed me for it, and apparently I inspired him because of my tale. And he wrote a character based on me, and that character is called Jonathan and is played by Dominic West.
So when the call came to support the miners in this battle with the Thatcher government, it was a no-brainer. We would willingly give our wholehearted support, and we hurled ourselves headlong into Lesbian and Gay Men Support the Miners. These were invigorating times. And again, it was a brilliant opportunity for more displacement activity to help keep me from dwelling on this blasted virus.
But I mean, what we did was amazing, you know, that because of our actions with the South Wales miners put pressure on the NUM to get the Labour Party to put gay rights onto their manifesto for the first time, something that they've been trying to do for 10 years.
So I'm at my third consecutive event. This is in Hackney, and I plan to talk to the host and frequent storyteller, Dave Pickering.
There were reasons why I was sad and I was anxious. It was because my mum was having a nervous breakdown, and how she was dealing with that nervous breakdown was spending very long, angry, drunken hours shouting at a 12-year-old son who was trying to make her feel better but didn't really know how to.
People come to Spark and they don't know what storytelling is, what true storytelling is. They've got no idea what's going to happen. Sometimes they're a bit sceptical, sometimes they're a bit worried that they're being asked to tell stories. But after a few people have got up and told stories, people are really won over.
Again, you know, I was told by my mum I wasn't, I was bad for being a man, and then I was told at school I wasn't a proper man, and so I really have a complicated relationship with the idea of being a man.
I think that everybody has stories that are interesting inside them. I think most people will communicate that if given the right circumstances, and I think open mic storytelling is the right circumstance. And I see people get up and tell brilliant stories, and I see people get up and tell a story that isn't brilliant, but the next time they tell a story will be brilliant. People, you know, will grow and get used to doing it.
And then I went to school, and I was a big kind of open wound, which meant I was bullied, and I was bullied kind of systematically, kind of virally. Everyone in school had a nickname for me. Everywhere I went, that nickname was used. Sometimes there was violence, but normally there was just spitting and that name repeatedly over and over. Good liberal helping of homophobic slurs, that sort of thing.
At this point, a couple of shows in, I was not ready at all. A bit of background information about me: I don't consider myself to be very interesting. I've never had a story like Habby's happened to me before, and I've certainly never been politically active like Jonathan. So how can I tell a story about something basic and make it sound interesting? I put this to Joanna.
Then make sure it's your own story. Like, what was at stake for you? Because often I think it's really easy to tell other people's stories, when actually what personal storytelling technically is your own story. So you need to be the main character in the story, and it needs to be you that comes up against a difficulty and hopefully comes out the other side.
Have a first line, have a last line, and know what you're doing in between, but don't rehearse it too much. And take your time.
I was asked to do it. I just sort of wrote it down. But there are people here who just spoke seemingly without notes. And if you've got something to say, say it, share it.
I went out the other night and I went to a party and it was great. Say, I went out the other night and I went to a party and everyone was wearing these thigh-high green neon boots, and they served cocktails with such and such in them, and they were all having sex on the floor, or whatever it was that actually happened that made it great. Say that. You don't need the adjective great then. And that's the thing that most people in everyday conversation don't ever learn, especially young people, like your good self. They always say everything's either great or crap. And you think, well, tell me why. Find adjectives. It was soothing, it was delicious, it was serene, it was sexy, it was disastrous, it was depressing. What?
Tonight is the big night. I'm performing in Hackney, and my story is going to be about my adolescence.
So basically, she was in a different school, and, you know, I'm telling my friends, I'm like, you know, I've got a girlfriend. And they're like, well, what's her name? Well, you don't know her. I'm like, well, I think you're making it up. You know, most people say that.
I was very nervous, of course, and I think it showed in my performance, but I felt everybody in the room was on my side. And what I found was a common theme of connecting, and I certainly think that's what true storytelling has to offer.
About 7 years later, I'm engaged. But now it's the opposite way around, because now when I tell my fiance that I have friends, she doesn't believe me. Thank you.
It may be a far bigger scene in the US, but here in the UK, Spark London is doing some fantastic work, and it showed in the content of the stories, their work with other organisations like Mind, and giving ordinary people like me the opportunity to tell our stories.
And I guess one of the reasons that Spark came about, really, is probably to do with some of the times that I sat there agonising over my thank you letters, trying to get the words out, to eventually get to a place where I could really enjoy words and enjoy people sharing their stories. And that is my story. Thank you very much.